Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you, and we hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you.
Singing with Roberta is a full body experience. You can. The music of the spirituals are part of our fabric. I can mention the words swing low, sweet chariot. My guess is most of us have heard that. I can mention Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho. My guess is most of us have heard that, know it. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Obviously, I didn't do enough coordination. I should have done the sermon off of that, too. Did my Lord deliver Daniel? And then we're going to wrap up the service today with Wade in the Water. Many of us can remember growing up to these tunes, to these songs. And many of us may have, if we were in choirs or in church groups, we may have sat down and tried to read these things with standard European notation. That wasn't the way they were passed down. We don't know specifically who wrote Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. We don't know who wrote Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child. We don't know who wrote Wade in the Water. It was passed down as part of an oral tradition which came to the slaves from their own traditions back in Africa. There was many different tribes that were confiscated, enslaved, drug across the middle passage from Africa to North America, Central America. But one thing they seemed to do was they used folk music, which is what spirituals are. They're folk music set to religious themes. They used folk music as a element of community development. When a child would take their first step, they might gather the community together and sing about that. A child moving from a young adult, from a youth status to an adult status, they would come together as a community and they would sing about that. And again, a lot of this was not written down formally. It was part of how it was learned was by teaching. One person would call, the other group would respond to that. In the early slave culture, they would occasionally have white people like me to go lead a religious service. And even in those days, we were boring. And they would go back to their slave quarters, and this kind of music that we just heard today would be what they would sing back and forth to each other. At a time when they had every reason to be in a state of despair, at a time when they had every reason to be hopeless, when they had every reason to see nothing but the brokenness, they would use this music from their traditions, from various places in Africa, to remind them to be hopeful, to be confident, and to be able to see wholeness. Now, they came to this Jesus guy somewhat with some trepidation, some reluctance, because of the hypocrisy of the slave owners. How could the slave owners talk about forgiveness and wholeness and compassion when they were treated the way they were? We should be happy that the compelling message of Jesus was so powerful that he became quickly part of their own fabric. They understood quickly that the Jesus message was focused on the outcast. One of the sermons that helped bring me to where I am today was a reminder that when Jesus went and touched the lepers, he was touching the outcast of that society. The ideas in Exodus where the Hebrew children would be able to leave Pharaoh's world and go out into their own search for their own promised land appealed to them. There was a resonance with that, and it gave them hope, gave them a hope in a world where by everything they could see around them, there was no reason for hope. Then the war happened. The war happened and the war ended, and there was this mentality for a little while that that was the past. The Civil War is over. Those were the songs from our past, and we want to get past that now. And we are blessed by the fact that the Fisk University Jubilee Singers would not let that tradition die. And again, they were able to retain the elements of that by just remembering what their parents and grandparents had sung to them. And they incorporated those in. And then white people began to adopt the idea of writing it down. We need to write it down and be able to have C followed by D flat followed by E. That's the way we need to do it. But that wasn't the way the Fisk Jubilee Singers did it. It gave them a chance to be able to experience again the ideas that came to them, the hopefulness that came to them from their forebears as they continued to struggle for equality in this country. The idea, though, is plenty good room. I've let you guys get out of this. I'm sorry to just start talking, and you guys, come on now. Plenty of what? Plenty of good room? Plenty of what? There we go. Plenty of good room. The idea there is plenty good room. Part of the idea behind that is the fact that you may be a slave. You may be somebody who's a sharecropper in Alabama. You may be somebody that the Ku Klux Klan burns their cross in front of your house because they want to try to scare you into going the way the Klan wants you to go. But the idea of plenty good room is the fact that God's world has got plenty of room in it. Not just for those that have, not just those that sit up at the big plantation house, but for those who work in support of the plantation house. God's kingdom has room for all. The passage there that Doug read to us, that passage there about Jesus reminding the disciples that there's plenty of rooms in God's kingdom. That's the idea that whoever wrote this plenty good room idea, this spiritual, was trying to remind us of, that there's plenty of good room in God's world for each of us to be able to live into what God expects of us, what God wants us to do, what God calls us to do. And how do we get there? That first part of John that Doug read was this idea of trust. He actually read, believe in God, believe in me. But you could also have translated that, trust in God, trust in me. Be so easy for us to hear the spirituals and to be able to treat those as ideas from a distant past that don't speak to us today. I would say to you they do speak to us today. They speak to us voices that in the midst of despair can continue to talk about optimism. In the midst of hopelessness, they can continue to sing and talk about hope. In the midst of everything about their world is being broken, they can continue to give us strength and be able for us to be able to see hope. That's an opportunity for us to, what is, we can draw from these spirituals, from these people that lived through that. Roberta's remarks in the newsletter, are that folk songs grow out of the needs, feelings, beliefs, and habits of the people as a whole culture. As folk songs, spirituals are improvised and grew out of an oral tradition. They were not written down, but were passed on from generation to generation simply by singing them together. It's a chance for that group to be able to understand what was happening to them, and it became a community enterprise. You didn't have to formally read music. You didn't have to be able to know what in tune or out of tune was all about. You could come in and you could be part of building up the community. Now, what I want to focus on, what do these songs say to us today? What do these songs say to us today? First idea I want to offer to you is the one of community. We celebrate the idea of individualism, and I endorse the idea of individualism. But that having been said, what sustained the slaves in their time in slavery was coming together in community and being able to find reinforcement for the fact that they were not alone, being able to find strategies by how they could leave the South and go to the North by following the drinking gourd, heading north, wading in the water, getting a chance to be able to hear this code and know that there was a way out. Community is critical to all of us. We came in here today to celebrate about the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts aren't about individuals. Sure, there's things we do. We celebrate Eagle Scouts, and we celebrate various categories and ranks and things like that. But the Boy Scouts are about teaching people that you are not in this alone. You're in this in community. And so that's one of the lessons that the slaves brought out. That's one of the things that they understood from their spirituals, is the idea of the fact that community was important. The second idea I want you to think about is the fact that the music that we sing is adapted into the context of where the slaves were. They brought their traditions from Africa with them, but modified them, made them unique to the North American experience. Yes, there are things that we learned about how to do church in Texas. There are things about how we learn how to do church in Colorado. God forbid. There's things about how we learn how to do church, perhaps even in Utah. But the context at Hilltop is perhaps a little different than it is at Christ, than it is at Colorado Springs First, than it is in maybe even Little Rock, Arkansas. Is that possible? Yes. Context matters, and we need to adapt to our own context. The slaves, when they had no reason to be trusting of God's word, were able to still focus on the idea of trust, trusting in God and trusting in Jesus. That's important for each of us. We can sit there and think we're all in this by ourselves, it's all about us, but the reality is not. It's important for us to be able to move from a focus on me, and focusing on trusting in what it is that God wants us to do, listening for God's holy word, sometimes through the scripture, sometimes through music, Finally, there's plenty of room in God's kingdom. You may sit there and say, there's nothing that I can really do for God's kingdom. And I would say to you, you would be dead wrong. There is something for you, each and every one of you, to do in some kind of way in order to extend God's kingdom just a little bit. And I would say one of the important things for us to do is to try to extend it beyond our walls. Try to extend it out into our community. Try to extend it out into God's world. If you're willing, you can reach out to the unlovable and show them love. If you're willing, you can embrace the shunned and show him or her acceptance. If you're a willing church, you can move outside of the comfort zone of your own walls and encounter a world that needs to know the love of Jesus Christ. If you are willing, we can embrace the sinner, and he or she can experience the love of God. Some of my benedictions the last couple of weeks as I have closed with the words from the marriage ceremony. I have, in the marriage ceremony, the Methodist hymnal, it reminds people to depart and go be an example of love to those in the world who do not know love. I could change that from love to hope. My invitation is for each of us to leave here today, having heard the spirituals, having reflected on the spirituals, having understood that the messages of the spirituals are all about hope. They're about hope and hopefulness. Jack keeps giving me classes on how to put this on, and I keep messing it up. What'd you say, Jack?
I'm going to staple it in soon.
I object. I don't want to get stapled to my ear. Okay. My invitation for us in this day is that when we say we want to depart out of here and go be an example of love to those who for whom love is a stranger, I want to change it. The spirituals give us the idea of let's go be examples of hope to those that hope is a stranger. That's the invitation for us today. Next week, we're going to get back to this call response thing. I don't know how I got myself into the mode of being so serious today. Jack, you let me down. It's all your fault. Please stand as you're able. We're going to do Wade in the Water.